You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm going to change it. I'm
gonna
change
you're changing up on me? Okay. What you doing?
This song here I sing a lot, but I haven't sang it in a long time. But y'all listen to the words to it, and I think I'll start off with one that I'm really familiar with. I haven't sang it in a long time because I've been looking at the carol, but she told me that y'all remember her in prayer. Prayer's, every time y'all pray, she gets better and better and better. That's the way God works. There's a story, oh, that's often been told, how our Savior died as they nailed his hand. He cried, they don't understand. As the blood flowed down his side, how can you refuse him now? How can you refuse him now? How can you turn away from his side? With tears in his eyes, can you refuse Jesus now? As he hung there on the tree and he prayed for you and me, pains no one could ease. Just before he died, he faintly cried, Father, forgive them, please. How can you refuse him now? How can you refuse him now? How can you turn away from his side? With tears in his eyes on the cross, there you refuse Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
What a message.
Thank you.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm glad Donnie could make it today. We talked Friday, and he's like, I'm going to do my best to be here, so I knew that meant it would take a lot to keep him from here today.
Amen.
Say amen. I'm going to do this little song here. I thought, number one, would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees will I learn to stand 'cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I think that I'll make Jesus my home from now on. When I'm in trouble, on him I'm gonna call. If I didn't trust him, I'd be less than a man, 'cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees will I learn to stand, 'cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Down on my knees I'd learn to stand, 'cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Amen.
Yeah, that was good, Mark. Sing another one.
Go ahead and get yours.
All right. We'll get that in the story that way if I find it. There it is. Hiding up beside number 30.
Uh-oh.
Just see that out of the way. This song here is my friend Buddy Shaw. I found it in his book. He's passed away now, but it's got some pretty words. Y'all listen to them. Okay? We're going to get this one. When I close my eyes in death, fold my hand across my chest, sang for me a pretty song. While I take my journey home, not afraid to beat this girl goodbye, not afraid to close my eyes and die for this grace I have prayed. In his arms I'm not afraid. When I close that silent sleep, when the home life bid on me, I fear no pain, I fear no harm, safe, secure in Jesus' arms. Not afraid to beat this world goodbye, not afraid to close my eyes and die for this grace I have prayed. In his arms I'm not afraid. In his arms I'm not afraid.
About what Pastor West said there about goodness of God. You know, when you least expect it, when you don't know where something's going to come from and he shows up, it's all because of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me all my days. I've been held in your hand from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. thank you so much. The song means a lot. It says a lot. I want to thank you for the prayers. I went out to California for a week. Woo, what an experience. Oh, mercy. And I've seen things out there. You see it on the TV, but when you go out and see it firsthand, it just, it's heart-wrenching. Mercy, I thank God every day for the blessings he's given me. And, you know, where some of those people are, that could be any of us, you know. But mercy and the grace of God, I think, is what carries us through. So I sing this song a lot, but it is my favorite song, and I thank God every day for it. So
he really was looking for an apartment, but he couldn't find one, so he come back.
I've never made a fortune. It's probably too late now. Oh, but I don't worry about that much, 'cause I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's journey, I'm reaping better than I've sown. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. Ain't got a lot of riches, sometimes the going's rough, but I've got a friend in Jesus.
Yes, I do.
And that makes me rich enough. And I thank God for all his blessings on me and the mercy he's bestowed. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. Oh, sure, I've been through some storms. And yes, there were times I know when my faith, well, it got a little thin. But it seemed like all at once, those dark clouds broke, and that old sun started shining again. So Lord, help me not to grumble and complain about the tough roads I've hoed. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. And if I should go on living, if the way gets steep and rough, I won't ask for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy, oh Lord, to help another bear their load. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. Yes, I'll keep drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowing. Amen.
All right. Thank you, my brother. Brother, I don't know what song you kicked to the side, but we might ought to hear that one. It's good to see you. Thank you so much for being with us today, and we are praying for our pastor that he get all that work done, and we were behind him 100%. We'll help you in any way we can. Praise the Lord for that. You need anything, holler, just holler. Well, it's good to see you. I wanted to share with you just a quick story about my two cousins up in Tennessee. They just never cease to amaze me. This was way back when they were a little bit younger, Wayne being 8 years of age, Everett being 7 years of age, his mother, the sweetest lady in the whole wide world. This was my mother's sister, so she was my aunt. Her name was Dorothy. We called her Dot. I don't know how that worked out, but some people do that. I called her Aunt Dot. So she was having so much trouble with these boys in school, and she couldn't take them anywhere. They just tore the house down and went to visit somebody. And so she was at a place that my mother used to get into, and she would tell me that she was at this place. I looked for it on the map. I never did find it. She would say, "James, I'm at my wit's end." And I didn't never find it, but she got there a lot, it seemed like. Well, my Aunt Dot got to that place on the map, wherever it was, and so she went to her pastor and says, "Pastor, would you talk to these boys? They're just so mischief and so much mischief and so much just chaos. I mean, I'm just ashamed of them in school and everywhere. They need to change. They need to be a real change in their life. And would you talk to them? And preacher, if you would, tell them that Jesus is everywhere. And he sees what they're doing and he knows what they're doing." The pastor of the church, little country church there on the side of the mountain, said, "Yes, I'll talk to them." Said, "You bring them down here Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock after they get out of school." She did. She brought them down there. He sat behind his desk, and the little two young ruffians, for a better term, sat in front of him, Wayne and Everett. He didn't say much, but he just looked at him at first, and he said, "Where is the Lord?" Wayne looked over at Everett, didn't say a word. The preacher leaned up on his desk and looked at them with a cold stare, and he said, "Where is the Lord?" They didn't say anything after that. He leaned up on his desk, looked at them, and he said, "Where is the Lord?" At that time, Wayne grabbed Everett by the arm, run out the back door and around behind an oak tree that was out in the yard. Everett said, "What in the world is going on?" Wayne said, "The Lord is missing, and they're trying to blame it on us." Them boys need some changes in their life. Well, it's good to see you this morning. If you have your Bible, turn with us to John, the book of John, chapter 5. John, chapter 5. And we're going to talk just for a few minutes about a young man who needed some change in his life. If you'll notice that Jesus had just come out of Cana of Galilee here, and in chapter 4 and verses 46 and following, and while he was there, a nobleman came to him and said, "Jesus, would you come down to Capernaum and heal my son. My son is sick, nearly about to die. Would you come down?" It's about a 22-mile trip. And Jesus saw within this man that he had faith. And he said, "You go on back home. Your son's going to be all right." The man believed him. He went back home. They met him as he was coming to his house. They said, "Your son is okay." He said, "Well, at what time did he start to get better?" And they told him the time, and he remembered that was the time that Jesus said, "Your son is going to live, your son is going to be all right." This man had faith. Well, here Jesus comes now to Jerusalem to a feast. It was customary for them, an adult male Jew, to go to the feast. And so Jesus went to the feast of the Jews, and he went to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market in your King James Version, or the sheep gate. Now this sheep gate is the place where the sheep herders would bring their sheep in and take them to this pool and wash them up and get them cleaned up. Then they would take them on down to the temple to be offered and sold and so on and so forth as a sacrifice. And this was the pool known in the Hebrew tongue as Bethsaida. In these lay a great multitude of impotent people, sick folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, Jesus didn't, when he gets here, he didn't say anything about that. He didn't say that it was not true. He did not say that it was a myth or a legend or anything like that. So we don't know all about that. But what these people were doing, the sick people would come to this place, the pool of Bethsaida. It had a middle wall in between it. On one side, they could wash the sheep, get them ready at the sheep gate. And on the other side would be for the people. Well, this place, the pool of Bethsaida, had five different porches. A while back, the people said, well, now this, we've never found anything like that. This cannot be anything true. But what happened was archaeology in that area discovered the ruins of this place. And they found the five porches that were there. So it backs up that this is a true place. Well, the sick folk were there. They were stretched out all around there on mats and little places to sit or whatever. But they were waiting for this event to happen. And you'll notice in verse 4, for an angel went down in a certain season into the pool, trouble the waters, and whoever first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. And like I said, Jesus didn't say that that wasn't a true situation. We don't know exactly, but that's what all these people were waiting for. Whoever stepped in the water after it was first troubled, they were healed of the situation, the infirmity that they had. Well, as you'll notice in verse 5, for a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. Now, as you know, 38 years is quite a long time. And this man, he was a cripple. He was hopeless and helpless, so to speak. And he was at the mercy of other people. He was at the mercy of the world. He had to depend upon somebody to help him with his transportation, whether to carry him there in a cart or carry him in some way, a chair or whatever. He had to depend on other people to get him there. He lived in this environment day in and day out. He had to worry about his livelihood. He had to depend on somebody for that. He had to depend on somebody for his basic needs. He was a crippled man, and he could not maneuver and do the things that he needed to do. He couldn't work like normal people. He couldn't get out and get a job. He couldn't build. He couldn't fix. He couldn't do this. He couldn't do pottery. He couldn't do these things because of his infirmity. And so here he is for 38 years, every day the same. He's living in a world. He's living in the world. And it's every day the same. Well, apparently he didn't know Jesus, never met him. Perhaps he had not heard about the situation in Capernaum, where Jesus, 22 miles away, had spoken, and this young man was healed. Over a period of space, 22 miles. Apparently he hadn't heard about that. And so when Jesus saw him in verse 6 and knew that he had been now in this particular case for 38 years, isn't it amazing to know that Jesus is aware of our case? You see, whatever situation you've got going on now. And you've probably got something going on in your life. You've probably got something that you wish wasn't there, or it was fixed, or you would have it a different way. You wish that. That's your particular case. And there's a crowd of people in here. All of us have got a different case. And the beauty of it is Jesus knows all about your particular case. He knows all about my particular case. He's aware of that. He knows all about it. He knew that this man had been there 38 years, day in, day out. Now, he became a regular. He was a regular there. Now, he probably had his little place where he sat. He had a little mat, and that was his place because he was a veteran. He had been there so many times, it was his. Now, if you think about it, look around at yourself. You're sitting probably where you sat last week. You probably are. Why? We just do that. I don't know why. We come down. Now, I've heard some horror stories of people coming in and find somebody in their seat and say, "Would you mind moving? That's my place." You know what I would do if somebody did that to me? I'd give it to them. I'd give them the whole place because I'd go out and get in my car. I'd give them everything. Y'all sit where you want to. It's all right with me. But this man probably had him a place. He probably had him a little place there, and everybody said, "Well, this is Bob's place, or this is Tom's place, or this is John's place," whatever. Jesus knew he'd been there for 38 years. And Jesus asked him a question in verse 6. He said to him, "Will thou be made whole?" He came to this man, multitudes of sick people all around him, and he came to this one man. You see, Jesus is offering him a change in his life. Do you want to change? Do you want something different than what you've had for 38 years? Do you want to be different? Do you want me to take away all this badness and give you something different? Do you want that? And you see, it's just like the situation here of a sinner. A sinner lives in the world, depends on the world, thinks of the world, acts like the world, talks like the world, walks like the world. And when they come and they hear Jesus ask them, "Do you want to change?" They got to make a decision. Big decision. Do you want to change? And I say to you today that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never asked Him to be your personal Lord and Savior, you've never made that phone call because you've got to make the phone call. Remember we talked about the other week, you've got to call. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've got to call. And I told you that you'll never get a business signal and you'll talk to a live person and that'll be Jesus and He'll say, "Do you want to change?" It's up to you. Well, notice what this man did. The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the water or to the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." He was crippled. Now he's being called. Do you want to change? Instead of him saying, "Yes, Lord, I am tired of 38 years of living for the devil, living in the world that I can't do anything about. I'm tired of that. Yes, Jesus, change me." Instead of him saying that, what did he say? Somebody else's fault. He has one of those religions that we call as soon as. As soon as I get rich, I'm going down to the church.
As soon as I get a new suit, I'm going down to the church. As soon as my wife gets straightened out, I'm going down to the church. As soon as my husband gets to act right, I'm going down to the church. As soon as I do this, I'm going to do that. It's one of them as soon as I. As soon as. You can put in anything in there you want to in your particular case. You've got a particular case. Do you want to change? Have you changed? Did you change? This man said, as soon as. But he said, you know, it's somebody else's fault. Somebody else's fault. I don't have anybody to pick me up and put me in the pool ahead of everybody else. It's somebody else's fault. You see, we're prone to do that when we don't know Jesus as our Savior. We're prone to blame somebody else. Why aren't you saved? Well, them bunch of hypocrites down to church, if any of them going, I'm going too. You're blaming somebody else. The man should have looked at his own life and said, I'm tired of that life. I don't want to live that life anymore. I want to be different. I want to be saved, Lord. I want to get things right. The man didn't even ask or say anything about that. But the Lord healed him anyway. Jesus said unto him, get up, rise up, take up your mat and walk. Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. You see, what Jesus did was to heal him physically. He didn't do anything spiritually because the man blamed other people for his condition and blamed other people because he wasn't better off and things didn't change for him. He didn't do that. But the Lord instead, in spite of all that, he healed him. The man didn't say, I believe in you, Jesus, or I accept you, or I have faith in you. He wasn't like the nobleman. The nobleman, Jesus saw within him that he believed in him, and he trusted Jesus. And when Jesus said, go on back home, your son's going to get better, the man believed him and went. He didn't see that faith in this person. So he healed him physically. You see, the Bible says rain falls on the just and on the unjust. Here Jesus heals this man, and the man wasn't even a Christian, wasn't even saved, didn't even receive Christ as his Savior. The man got up, got his mat, walked off. Now Jesus went away from the crowd too because they were all upset about it. You see, he didn't even say thank you. It reminds me of that passage of Scripture there in Luke chapter 17. You don't need to turn there, but there were 10 lepers. 10 lepers. And they violated what they were supposed to be doing. They weren't supposed to be out among the crowd. They're supposed to be off in a colony somewhere. But 10 of them come out and they saw Jesus and said, would you heal us? And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Now that leprosy was the COVID-19 of those days. See, COVID-19 has destroyed and turned everything upside down, and we blame everything on COVID. Those people who didn't want to come to church anyway, I can't go down there, COVID. They're not, you know, just gave them an excuse. Well, these lepers came to Jesus and said, would you heal? He said, go see the priest. The priest, all he could do was say, yep, you got it, no, you ain't, or you had it, and it's gone. That's all he could do. He couldn't heal them. Couldn't do anything about it. He could just say, you got it, or you got it, or you had it, it's gone now, whatever.
Only one bowed down and glorified God and said thank you. Nine of them took off. And I'll never forget those words from the scriptures. Jesus said, "Where are the nine?" All he wanted was a thank you. All he asked for was a thank you. And he didn't get that. And nine of them took off. And only one turned back and said thank you. And he glorified God. You see, if you've ever had any healing in your life, a scratch, a cut, a broken arm, a broken leg, a cut, a surgery, whatever. If you've ever had, you see, when Jesus went to the pool, think about it. There were a multitude of sick people. Jesus is the healer, the great physician, but he doesn't heal everybody. A good parent will not give the child everything that he asks for. How many of us have gone into the shopping center, gone into the grocery store, and the child say, "I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want that." Negative. You can't have all that. Maybe I'll give you this. You can't have all, it's not good for you. Jesus can't answer all prayers for healing because nobody then would ever die. And he said, "It's appointed unto man once to die." So if you've ever had any healing from a scratch to a serious major, that is a gift from Jesus out of heaven for you. It's a gift. He doesn't heal everyone. How many times have we prayed? My good friend, Sheriff Billy Bryant, who was the sheriff of this county from 1986 to 2006, and I worked for him all that time. He was my best friend. He got sick and he had dialysis. We prayed for him through that. I got the call. He's in Moore County Hospital. We prayed for him. He was moved from there to Hospice House. We prayed for him. Prayed that he'd get up and walk away and be himself again, but you know, he didn't. And I was his pallbearer, one of his pallbearers, on Saturday about 3 weeks ago. We prayed for him, but the Lord said, "No, it's time." So if you've ever had any healing whatsoever, from a headache to a footache to a stomach ache, at least you could say, "Thank you, Jesus, for healing." Because the healing comes from him. He chooses. 1 John chapter 5 says, if you pray according to his will, he hears you. And if you know that he heard you, then you can expect the petitions that you put before him to be answered. The key to it is you got to pray in his will. How do you know that? You let the Holy Spirit guide you, because he's going to know the Father's will and he's going to know Jesus' will, so you got it together and he's going to be praying properly in his will. So, hear this man. He didn't even say thank you. He was like the nine. He got up and he took off. Well, the Jews, in verse 10, they didn't even recognize and appreciate the miracle of this person being healed. They complained and said, "Hey, it's not lawful. You've broken one of our rules," not Jesus' rule, not God's commandment. "You broke one of our rules by carrying your mat, and we've defined work as carrying a mat
on Sabbath day. This was the world. This was the world from which this man had been offered an opportunity to get out of. And they said, well, you can't carry that mat. Well, look in verse 11. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said to me, take up your bed and walk. The man is still blaming somebody else for something in his life. Who are you blaming? That you haven't made things right with the Lord. That you hadn't praised the Lord. That you hadn't said thank you, Lord. That you hadn't recognized that that came from Jesus. Or you haven't gotten saved. And you got one of those as soon as lifestyles. The man still blaming somebody else for what's going on. He said, listen, wait a minute. Now that fellow that healed me, he's the one that did it. You go talk to him. Jesus met the fellow again in verse 14. Afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple, and he said to him, behold, thou art made whole. In other words, you're well now. I've cured your pains and your situation. I've cured all that. You are walking now. You can walk and you can now work. Do you want to change? You're going to have to get out and get a job now. You can work. You can do all these things. Do you want to change? And you know, some people come to the conclusion, I like this kind of lifestyle. Some people do that. No, I like to be with my friends. I like to go out on Saturday night and be with my friends. I like to do this, and I like to do the things of the world. And if I become a Christian, I got to give up all this stuff. Listen to me. Colonel Sanders, the man who invented fried chicken. I ain't eating that stuff over there called alpaca stuff. They said it tastes like chicken. Negative. No, that stuff, that's between a cross a dog and a goat. I ain't eating that stuff. Look at it on the side of their truck. Mm-mm. If I want some fried chicken, I'm crossing the road to the man that invented it, Colonel. I met him one time. This is a true story. I met him in an airport in New York when I was in the Navy. I think I was flying to Rome or wherever. I met him. Sure did shook his hand. A little greasy there. But anyway, that was all right. That was all right. That was the colonel. The man invented fried chicken. But he said this. He said, when I got saved, I lost half of my vocabulary. That makes a lot of sense. You know what I mean? He changed. There was a change in his life. Some people, this man here, do you want to change? Some people don't want to change because they like it the way it is. They like it the way it is. This man, Jesus said, I've made you whole. I've healed you now. I've healed you physically. But you've got a real problem spiritually. He said, you need to sin no more. You need to sin no more lest a worse thing comes upon you. You see, as Jesus has said, he was talking to his disciples one time, and he said, if your feet offend you, cut them off. It's better to go into heaven as a cripple than to be cast fully healthy into a place called hell. He told this man, he says, I've helped you physically. But you've got a spiritual problem. You need to get rid of the sin of unbelief and receive me, is what Jesus is actually saying. Because if you don't,
something greater than your 38 years of being a cripple. Something greater than that will come upon you, which will be cast into hell. This man, Jesus said, do you want to change? And I pose that same question to you today. Do you want to change? You may have lived the life without Jesus for 38, 40, 50 years. I don't know. Maybe it's 10, 15, 20 years. But you're getting kind of used to it. This man got used to it. And he had a routine, no doubt. And he was involved, and he had friends. Don't you know, if he had his place, he had friends around him, and they would talk all during the day, waiting for the troubling of the waters, and he had his friends, and he had to decide if he wanted to leave those friends, because now he's different from them. He walks different. He talks different. He can do different things than them. He had to decide if he wanted to leave that. You'll have to decide if you want to leave that. You'll have to decide, like the colonel, do you want to give up half your vocabulary? Do you want to talk different, act different, live different, be different? Do you want to? Jesus said, I can make it different. Old things will pass away. All things will become new. I can make it different. Do you want it? Do you want it? You see, Jesus is not going to make you a puppet. Listen, I love ventriloquism. I enjoy watching Jeff Dunham if he would clean up his mouth, clean up his act. He's a master ventriloquist. I wish he wouldn't talk the way he talks. I wish he would honor Jesus with his talent. But he's a master ventriloquist. The Lord doesn't want you as a robot. He's not going to push it on you, force you to do it, pull your string in the back, make you do this. No. No, he wants you to do it because you want to do it, and you'll do a better job at it. Do you want to change? Would you bow with me? Would you bow with me in prayer? Do you want to change? Some people don't. Some people are happy just the way they are in the lifestyle that they got. You may be a Christian, but there be some things going on in your life. And Jesus said, do you want to change those things? Do you want to change? It's up to you. It's your decision to make. Jesus can take care of it if you'll let him. Do you want to change? If you do, Jesus says we can do that. Trust me, and I'll straighten that out in your life. If you're a Christian, I can take that out of your life. I can get you all straightened out and let you walk a different walk. If you're unsaved and you're tired of that everyday emptiness, waiting on somebody else, waiting, 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 trying to fill that void with all kinds of things, and it lasts for a little while, and then it fades away. If you'll receive Jesus as your Savior, He'll fill that void, and you'll be a new person, and you'll be happy, rejoicing, praising the Lord. You may not have any more money. You may not have any more cars. You may not have any more houses, but you'll have Jesus. Need to fix that problem about sin, or a worse thing will come upon you, as he told this man. I'm going to have a prayer, and then I want you to remain your head bowed and eyes closed, and I'll ask you, if you want to change, this is a changing station. This is where you can get it changed. And we'll show you how to do that. Our Father in heaven, we do pray, Lord, some are just satisfied in the life that they live, and it's apart from you. But I pray today that they'll look at this and you're asking all of us, do you want to change? Some of us have things in our life that we need to get cleared up and get out of our life and make things right with you so we can be a better servant and a better Christian and a better witness. Your question is, do you want to do that? Do you want to change? You'll help us with that. Perhaps there's an unsaved person here, Lord, who says, I want to change. And I pray for them, Lord, that today they'll make that decision to receive Jesus and be changed forever. And Lord, if we've ever received a gift of healing from you, we should thank you for it. From the smallest to the largest, because you have healing in your wings. You have healing powers. Healing comes from you. You don't heal everyone. You don't answer every prayer. We understand that. And so that means that if we've received some healing, we've been blessed. And the least we can do is thank you. Praise your name. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. With your head bowed and eyes closed, anyone by lifting your hand would say, preacher, would you pray for me? I've got some things I need to be changed, have to have changed. Anyone? Yes, yes, I see that. Thank you, thank you. Praise the Lord, thank you. We're going to pray for you. Anyone else? We'll ask you this. Would you want to come around the old-fashioned altar, kneel with the pastor, open your heart, pour it out on the altar, say, Jesus, today is the day. Today is the day. I got to get it changed. Anyone? Would you step out, come down this aisle? Don't worry about what people are thinking. It's not their business. It's yours and Jesus' business. Anyone? Anyone? I'm going to pray for you again, and I'm going to turn it over and let Bobby and Mark. I done forgot who you are. Mark and Donnie, play a final song for us. Our Father in heaven, for these who've raised their hand, they're honest. They want to change and have a change in their life. And we praise you for that. Do you want to change? And they've said yes. Now, Lord, we leave them in your care to work out the details, to do what you need to do in their life, to help them, to lead them, to guide them, and to set them on fire for Jesus, and may people look at them and see the glow and praise your name. Bless them, Lord, we pray. And thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark, Donnie.
Powerful message. Mm-hmm. And you know the nice thing. The God that saved that man by the pool, whether it was physical, or the man who's the rich man whose son was sick. The same God that saved them back then saves us today. God was the same back then as he was yesterday and as he will be tomorrow. I like this song here because I hope this is something that everybody will be able to relate to.
I had nothing but heartaches and trouble. I was seeking for fortune and fame. I had nothing but doubts and confusion. but now I have everything. Everything I need to make me happy. I have Jesus to show me the way. He has saved me and He gave me life eternal. And now I have everything. I was making big plans for my future. I was living my lifetime in vain. Then I prayed for life's only meaning. And now I have everything. Everything I need to make me happy. I have Jesus to show me the way. He has saved me and He gave me life eternal. And now I have everything. Yes, now I have everything.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Donnie. Appreciate y'all being here. And I appreciate that message. Thank you, brother. I needed to hear that too. And I just want to, as we close, I just want you as Christians, if anyone's here that's not saved and today you accepted the Lord, please speak with Pastor James or myself, or if you need to talk to anybody, please call us. But as Christians, I just want you to think about something, what Jesus told the man at the pool. He says, go and sin no more. Jesus had already bailed him out of his trouble. We live in a world that once they've been bailed out one time, they keep doing things the same way because they assume they'll get bailed out again. Jesus has bailed you out of a problem, or bailed you out of a habit, or bailed you out of a hurt, or bailed you out of a hang-up. He wants you to start living a new way. Doesn't mean that Jesus won't help you that second time. But guess what? There's other things in our lives that need fixing. Jesus has fixed that first thing. Leave and go away from it. I had a gentleman from South Africa one time tell me that when he got saved, it was on the beach, and when he come, after he got saved, he was looking at the waves, and he remembered as a child, almost drowning, and somebody saved him and brought him up on the beach. And he says, when I look back at the waves, and they were still trying to get me and pull me back, he says, I crawled up the beach trying to get away from them. He said, well, my Jesus saved me. The rest of my life, I've been crawling, trying to not let my past sins pull me back in. And that's what salvation and sanctification is about. So when Jesus says go and sin no more, that means He wants you to live a new way, and that's God's way. Thank y'all for being here. The offering buckets is in the front and the rear. Don't forget the meal next week. Invite somebody to be with you and join you. I just want to say amen and praise the Lord for all these voices of all these children I hear in here. Amen. That's a blessing. I'm just tickled about that. I thank all our visitors for being here. And let me close in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before You now, Lord, and we just thank You for Your word. As Pastor James was preaching, I was just thinking, Lord, that Your word sets us free. Lord, the world thinks that the Bible restricts us or stops us from having fun, but Your word frees us to live the life You've planned for us and to become the person Jesus saved us to be. With your Bible, you guide us into the paths of righteousness. And Lord, I ask that you would be with everyone here today. And Lord, all hearts here, that whatever they've asked of you, whatever they've entrusted to you, whatever they've laid down, that you'd be with them and help them not to pick it back up. You'd be with them and help them make these changes. That, Lord, we would start living a life that lets everyone know that our Jesus is still in the heart-changing business. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Y'all have
some glad morning when the love is over.
I'll fly away.
Fly away.
On
God's electric shore,
I'll fly away.
Oh, glory,
I'll fly away.
When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life is grown, Lord,
I'll fly away.
Like a bird from these prison bars have flown,
I'll fly away.
Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory,
I'll fly away.
In the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then, Lord,
I'll fly away.
To a land where joy shall never end, I'll fly away.
I'll fly away,
oh glory,
I'll fly away.
In the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.